Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I feel like I'm way shorter than you.
I don't know what you're doing.
Well, because you were down there before, and then I removed... Oh, okay. Well, I'm happy. I'm going to be down here.
Sure.
You can do that. You do you.
Okay.
How are you going? What song did you choose?
Well, I was thinking about Lola was singing a song in the pool to me yesterday. She came out, you know, trashing her hair around. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? And I'm like, holy shit. She just keeps singing these dishy
80s
songs. And they're like, you know, Talking Heads, such a great band. And that was such a great song.
She really has gone very 80s, hasn't she?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just a massive switch.
And like, Angela's, you ask her, what's the song, who sang it? She knows it.
She knows it.
And knows all the lyrics. And
just like, I'm reliving my teen years.
Yeah, it's great. It's actually great because, I mean, there was such great music in the 80s. You know, now there's so much of this stuff that's just electronic voiceover and stuff like that. You're not actually hearing the vocalists. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you, like, imagine 3 years ago telling her, this is a cool song. She'd have been like, whatever.
Whatever.
You're like, that's not cool at all. And now she's just like the 80s queen with her Walkman.
No, she just got a haircut in that 80s. Curtain bangs, yeah. She just got curtain bangs.
That is so cute.
It is very cute.
She sent me a video of her hair straight because obviously she's curly hair, but with the curtain bangs. And then I saw them the other day and they're all curly and she's just so cute. Yeah.
And we're getting a dog.
I know, I heard. Finally.
$4,500 for a friggin' dog. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, how do I get around this? I'm like, you know, it would be really good, kids, if we went to the pound and, you know, rescued one of those dogs, you know, before they get that injection. You should, we should. And they're like, no, that dogs don't get injections over here in Australia. I'm like, you know, and it will eat the rabbits. It'll eat the rabbits. We have
they
to.
They just
a puppy.
Have to choose the right one that's not going to eat the rabbits. Actually, will not be happy.
No.
Anyway, so what are we talking about today? Oh, so yes, let's talk because we've just done another podcast, which was actually really cool. And it's funny how, even though stuff we've been talking about for years and years and years, because we obviously talk about the same sort of concept over time, it's really cool. I was actually saying this the other day when we were in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about stuff that was very common for us. Do you know what I mean? Just like everyday stuff for us.
Yeah.
But when people hearing it for the first time or they're hearing it said in the way that we say it for the first time, it's actually really quite, it's inspiring. Do you know what I mean? And you forget sometimes that the content that you, I think this is everybody, you say the same stories quite often, you say the same phrasing quite often, but you forget how impactful they are for people hearing them for the first time. And I think that, I don't know, that was a really good reminder, like when we were in Brisbane, but also just today, about how impactful some of the work that we do is, but not just that, just concept. Even if the concepts are similar to what people already know, the way that they're presented is a little bit different, or the way that they say it is a little bit different, or the way we say it might be a bit different. So people, it can be quite, I don't know, it was quite lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. I think he absolutely thoroughly enjoyed having a chat with us. And I think that he was quite intrigued. He was like, whoa, that's really cool how you guys see that stuff, and which was awesome to be part of that. I love when we get invited on to speak to people like that. It's great.
And I think that, and that's why I think, you know, going back to the beginning, like I thought we could do that today in terms of some of the information, because I think we spoke about a couple of analogies that we haven't really touched on in such a way at the moment, like, and I thought it might be good just to revisit some of the basic concepts, like the innermost dominant thought and where that comes from and stuff like that, and what that means as you go through your, like, well, let me just go into it. Like, one of the analogies we heard years ago, I can't remember who said it to us, I think it was Sam, right, who we've had on the podcast already, and she said, one of the things that I thought is that I did a lot of work on myself, she said, and the work that I did on myself was really good, because it doesn't matter what work you do on yourself. If you're working on yourself, go for it. Like, it's great, right? Yeah. But she said, all the work that I did on myself over the years was amazing, she said, but it felt like it was a way of putting a Band-Aid over a wound, right? So it was covering it up helping me to get by, you know. And she explained how our work was different because rather than having a Band-Aid on the wound, she realised that there was no wound.
Yeah.
And, like, this has been something that we've spoken about for a long time in terms of the fact that there's a fundamental difference between trying to fix something that you perceive as broken mm-hmm. or understanding that was nothing broken to begin with and mm-hmm. you're perfect to begin with. And as I was explaining it on this previous podcast just now, I was explaining how what happens is that when we don't see that we have a wound and we don't see, if we see that we have a wound, we will take that wound and even though it's covered up, we will take that wound into our relationships, into our businesses, into our finances, into our social interactions, into our families. And we will maneuver ourselves so that wound doesn't get reopened. Mm-hmm. So even though there's a Band-Aid covering it, it's like we will maneuver ourselves and work our way around situations so nothing impacts that mm-hmm. wound. Mm-hmm. Nothing risks ripping mm-hmm. that Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. And then it's not going to affect how we go about our lives. But ultimately, if you've got that wound on your hand, it's like putting your hand in a place that's really safe so that it's not going to get affected. So therefore, you don't have the full use of your of who you are when you're in those interactions. Mm-hmm. But if you think about that in terms of the analogy of there not being a wound, then you don't feel like you can go into any relationship, any financial situation, any social interaction, any family interaction with a free and clear and open perspective, and you don't have to ever worry about that wound being mm-hmm. affected again. Yeah. And so you're not protecting something. So then you can bring your full self into that scenario. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that's a really good way of describing in a way the innermost dominant thought and that concept that we're trying to... Because what we do is we try to hide that innermost dominant thought. We run around trying to protect, like, so that nobody sees the wound that I've got, which is I was abandoned or, you know, I've got such high expectations to live up to that I never feel like I'm going to be enough. So we don't ever try and, you know, get that wound opened again. Then we just, we constrict ourselves and all the decisions we make are to pretend and to hide that that's there,
yeah.
That innermost dominant thought.
But it's as, when you're dealing with people... You know, it's as obvious as when, you know, as much as they're trying to hide it, you got to understand when you're trying to hide it, it's like turning up to a meeting with a limb missing.
Well, of course.
You know, because when someone turns up to a meeting with a limb missing, the first thing you notice is the fact that there's a limb missing, right? You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happens, yeah. Right? So it's the same with the wound. If you think you're hiding it, you're never hiding it. And then what happens is that everybody is driven out of their wound, right? This is why we were talking to this chap about CEOs that make it and lose it and make it and lose it. And that becomes the cycle. I make money, I lose money, I make money, I lose money. And the problem is that their wound is actually driving the motive. Their wound is the innermost dominating thought.
Correct.
That's what's driving the company.
That's what's
driving the business. And they don't realize that that's what's happening. And what they're doing to experience something emotionally back that doesn't allow them to feel what happened back there. So the sensory input is now driving the motivation. And when you have distorted sensory input, you're motivated. When you have clear sensory input, you're inspired. And in people who are inspired deliver their message to the world with inspiration as a whole human, you know, with the limb back on, as a whole human, they're delivering that to the world. And people receive that with inspiration and they're more comfortable to be around because they know that they're not trying to hide anything, mm-hmm. you know. And that's why, you know, we got to talking there about owning everything that's happened to you. Don't be afraid of it. You know, if you don't own it, somebody will come in and make you own it.
Make you own it.
You know, so that it happens in the form of the media, happens in whatever form.
It doesn't matter how much you try to hide the wound. The fact that it's there is going to be exposed in some way, shape or form.
That's right.
Because life is, it's like when you've got a sore toe. You try and avoid bumping into something and then next minute somebody is going to step on your toe.
Yeah.
Because you cannot walk around life expecting that it's not going to be impacted.
That's
you know
right.
I'm just going to fix this up because I feel like...
Yeah, I probably should fix yours.
Maybe. But do you know?
So, what, yeah, yeah. Totally,
and
totally.
I think that's a. I think it's a good analogy because I think people. It's also a good analogy to think about it in the fact that people think, like, they really think that they can hide it.
Yeah.
They really think that they can pretend.
Yeah.
Or get away with.
But the problem is they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's
because
doing it.
Because other people let them away with it and everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, because, and the reason other people let other people away with it is because they're doing it themselves and somebody's let them away with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you let me away with it, then I'll let you away with it.
Yeah.
So let's both let each other away with it and pretend that we're something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what people have to understand, as I say all the time, the banks and fraternities and now tech companies now know that you're doing that. Marketing companies who are, you know, who are trying to work out how do we get them to click, how do we get them to buy, they literally understand that psychology and they are marketing to that insecurity, and everybody is the product.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
here,
everybody's fucking doing it.
Drink this and no one will see that you've got that wound.
Yeah.
Or do this and buy this and no one will see that you've got that wound. You know, act this way, no one. So they're making sure and we fall for that. And I think that one of the beauties of the work that we do is I remember years and years and years ago when you used to do the one-on-one stuff, you know.
Mm.
And I remember feeling I was coming to an end of it, end of that process, and I was feeling I actually need somebody to hold me accountable because mm-hmm. if I don't, then I'm going to keep going through the same cycles. Like I'm going to hit it and then I'm going to go through those same cycles again. Because I love that in what we do, people want us to hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And also that we do that ourselves. Because I think it's a special breed of person that goes, you know what? I have to look at this part of myself. If I can't look at this part of myself, then I can't
mm-hmm.
fully move forward. Like, and there's, you know, there's a lot of I had a tough day yesterday was a tough day for me, and I remember I went home and I was like, I had all these things to do, and I just, it was like I couldn't conceptualize getting some of this stuff done because it was just like I
too
just
much.
Needed a minute. And then I spoke to my sister, and it was just a really good phone call because it was like in the conversation, she made sure that I spoke the things that I was withholding. Do you know what I mean? Like not letting me away with the stuff that I knew I needed to say, because there was a part of me that didn't want to say it because I thought that's going to make me look really bad, that I've done all this work and I'm still thinking in this way or that I'm behaving in this way. But when she held me accountable to that, I realized that it was just a feeling. It didn't mean that I was a bad person. It didn't mean that I didn't have a right to the feeling. It was just a feeling. And as a result of that, I was able to express it. And once it was expressed, I was not trying to hide it anymore. Do you know what I mean? It felt like instead of being something that I didn't want anybody to see, I was like, okay, this is okay now. I'm okay to show this part of myself to the world. And we all need people to hold us accountable to that, particularly if we've done the work. Do you know what I mean? Because once we've done the work, there's a part of us thinks, oh, we've done it. So I've done that, so that's it. But transformation is a work in progress.
Yeah.
There's different levels of it. There's different things that you can learn about yourself through different experiences. And it's important to continue that and to continue to be held accountable.
And I mean, when you're held accountable to stuff, there's, you know, it's a bit like I got a tree in my front yard. This tree is, excuse my French, but is, it's just a nightmare, right? It's a nightmare. What does it do all day long? It just sheds bark, it sheds
it's
leaves,
annoying.
They end up in the pool. But it's a bit like but the thing about it is it's massive and it's growing all the time. And the thing about that is that when you shed stuff and when you shed these things and you grow, you have to understand you can't grow if you're not shedding things.
Yeah.
And the way in which you shed things is to hear yourself talking about them sometimes and listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you'll realize that's fucking nonsense.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm saying. That's That is just fucking, like, it's just fucking nonsense.
100%.
And the reason you're not saying it, and you put to the outer world, and you keep repeating it in your own head, is because your head and your heart are trying to get you to see that what you're saying is fucking nonsense.
It's fucking nonsense. And that's nonsense. Part of the thing. Like, even as I was speaking, last time, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. It's not true. 100% no, it's not true, mm-hmm. but this is what's happening. This is what my mind is telling me, do you know what I mean, mm-hmm. about this situation. So I really, like, even just listening today and having had that experience yesterday and stuff like that, I'm like, this. It's so important to recognise that wound that's driving you, that perception of the wound that's driving you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it is just a perception. Because as soon as you see it for what it is, you realize it's not a wound. It's just a part of who you are, and it's just a part of your journey. And that innermost dominant thought that's telling you you're not enough because of X, Y, Z is actually your biggest gift. You know, the thing that you think you're trying to run away from is actually the biggest gift that you could have, and it's the access point for the next level of your growth, which is exactly like the tree. The thing that I have to deal with here is my access point to grow to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you've got two options. The first option is you can avoid that like the plague. And the second option is that you can go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go through it, it's never as bad as what you think it's going to be.
Absolutely.
It's always, you've made it bigger in your mind than when you think it's going to be. But when you avoid it, it stays in there and it just festers and festers like a wound will. Mm-hmm. Until it's opened up and it's given the air to breathe, and then you can, it gets an opportunity to heal.
Right,
do you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and the reason people don't, I mean, the reason people don't open up to stuff is generally because they're afraid of things, right?
Yeah.
They're afraid to open up. And what you're afraid of, you know, we all know that 94% of what you're afraid of never ever happens. It never ever happens. So, but what you're afraid of is that if you do open up, that you're going to lose something and not gain something. But in actual fact, what you're truly afraid of is what you will gain and not wanting to lose that again. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what I find that people are actually afraid of.
Yeah.
They're afraid of gaining something and losing it again. But the truth about it is, when we gain something that drives the evolution of our consciousness to have a greater understanding and awareness of ourselves, we know that consciousness doesn't go backwards. So you can't go backwards. So in actual fact, expressing and talking about whatever is holding you back is actually the key to making sure that you realize it was never holding you back in the first place. And it's just life inviting you to a greater event horizon of yourself that you're trying to get to anyway. That at some deep level throughout your fucking life, you've asked to get to that place. So it's just helping you to get there.
So I think that's the first level of that growth, and to realize it's not a wound is to actually acknowledge its existence. Acknowledge your perception of what that wound is.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you can acknowledge it, at least you're on the pathway to saying, look, this is something for me. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And I need to look at that, you know, and it gives you opportunity to peel away whatever layer is there so that you can actually look at what's underneath and see that there's actually nothing wrong with you in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You said a statement before that anyone who profits from you being blind will never inspire you to change.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, the gift my sister gave me yesterday. It allowed me to have truth there and to see something. And it affected her by me acknowledging that stuff, because it was, some of it was in relation to her. But because she gave me that space, it gave me an opportunity to move and to grow through that. Do you know what I mean? And I think that was important. I think it's so important, and I really realize this for me personally, so important to have people that are in your corner, that hold you accountable, and that like get that you're just having a moment maybe, and just to look at what actually is going on there, you know, Steve.
Yeah. It's good, and it's important to know who those people are and to open the dialogue with those people. Like, I have a couple of people in my corner that I know have my corner. You know, they've proven to me, even when I wasn't there, you know, when they'd had my corner, you know, to say, and it's important to know those people, but it's also important to acknowledge them. I'm going to do that today, actually. I have somebody I want to talk to about that. But
right here.
But it's important to really have, you know, to really, you know, I'm not a big fan of Brené Brown. I know some people are, but after she had a go at Joe Rogan, I'm
not at your bro. Go on.
But in all seriousness, she had a great thing where she said you should have a piece of paper in your wallet, which is a small piece of paper that just has four names on it of people that you know 100% have your back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That you know you can turn to and you can let them know, you know, that, yeah, hey, I need to just talk about this.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.